Hello.
Happy hump day, Linda.
Happy hump day, Andy.
Happy hump day. Bah, 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 bah,
bah. Pewing, 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 pewing.
What is pewing? Is that a little like finger guns or?
Pew, pew, pew. Something like that.
Something like that, something like that.
Oh my God, I'm on the most majestic lake right now.
You're on a lake?
Yeah.
Wait, are you upstate this week?
I am.
Oh, I had no idea I was interrupting upstate time.
I asked you to record, Andy.
You did do that. It's true. But still, I don't want you to feel obligated, you know?
I don't. I felt like Great. I wanted to.
Well, I'm jealous of your lake proximity. I am at my dining table where I spend 12 hours a day.
I just realized that this deck has a little latch so my doggy can't escape.
I'm looking at some images. Oh, fuck. Are you serious? This is not fair. God damn.
What?
This
what
picture
happened?
You sent me. This picture you sent me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oof.
Crazy, right?
Oof.
Oof.
That's a pewing pewing if I've ever seen one.
Pewing pewing.
More like sproing.
More like boner.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at with sproing.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I think explaining jokes makes them funnier, mostly.
It does. And it feels so good outside. Oh, it's also happens to be retreat week right now at work. So it's nothing but like fun and workshops and stuff like that.
Don't you wish every week could be retreat week at work?
Oh my God, yes. That'd be so nice.
Linda, since you're off the grid, I guess, you know, out in the woods, did you see the latest moon news?
Moon?
There's big moon news.
Uh-oh, what did NASA do?
We don't know yet, but NASA is going to announce new science results about the moon. Quote, an exciting new discovery about the moon is going to be announced next Monday at 12 p.m. Eastern.
Next Monday?
Mm-hmm.
That's very exciting to me.
So we got some moon news coming to us. I thought it'd be exciting to you. We had some asteroid booping news this week, and now we get some moon news.
Booped an asteroid.
Space is
popping
off.
What it could be. This is the hard thing, though, about space. Is that, like, right now, I think we're in a stage of, like, micro-discoveries where, like, they announce these huge new developments, which are huge, like, but I think to the modern person who's used to sci-fi movies and such, the discoveries are actually kind of like womp womp. They're usually not very exciting.
Yeah, something tells me they're not going to be like, you know, we discovered organic life on the moon.
Right.
And, you know, we just scheduled a normal teleconference to tell you about it.
One of the Cheetos bags we left up there has sprouted a new fungi.
Yeah, we already had, what's what? We already discovered crystals of past ice on the moon. Didn't we discover that? Am I making that up?
Yeah, there were like lakes or rivers or something. See, I don't even remember. Like, and that's horrible.
Ice on moon. Ice confirmed at moon's poles, August of 2018. Got some ice up there. I'm looking at a little space scan of the moon. I don't know. Maybe they found some other ice or water or something. I don't even know enough about space to know what the scope of discoveries of the moon could possibly be.
Right, exactly.
Do we discover like, that the moon is going to explode in 20 years? Do we discover that it's very sad and needs some reinforcement? I don't know.
The moon is emotionally unstable right now.
Yeah, ain't we all moon? Do some work on yourself, then come back when you're ready.
Yeah. What if the moon got its period?
Oh, that would be, what if the moon got its period? How do I yes and this?
If like every 600 years, it sheds some of its internal bits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Mars is like, uh-oh, better go get a chocolate bar for the moon.
And Mars is chocolate.
Oh, Mars is made of chocolate?
Well, Mars bars, you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Whatever, never mind. This
has
gone
good.
Terribly
it was
wrong.
Good.
No,
like, you're the improv pro. I'm sorry I threw you off your game with my questions. It comes more naturally to me to ask questions than it does to yes and.
Man, I'm sitting in front of a bird feeder like an old woman, and it is so wonderful. Like this morning, I was like, Mark, the bird feeder's getting low on seed. We gotta up it. So I went and took a bucket and I filled it up. And these birds, they don't give a fuck about people. I'm sitting like 2 feet away and it just came up here and started nomming.
You should make some peanut butter covered pine cones.
Oh my God. I remember doing that and feeling like, this looks delicious.
Covered in peanut butter and bird seed. Just yum, yum.
I don't know why, but I was like, this is my kind of snack.
I like my little crunchy treat.
Yeah.
That'd be a funny pool for like a, you know, a thing that like some hippie would eat. You know, if you were trying to make a joke about hippies, that could be a Portlandia sketcher bit where somebody you know, eats a pine cone covered in peanut butter and granola.
Yeah, like it looks like they're just making a little treat. Hold on, I have to explain something to Mark real quick. Oh, this is bad. He walked away. Never mind. I'm not going to explain something to Mark.
Wait. You're like knocking on a window or something, trying to get his attention? Yeah,
and he has his headphones on. So he was just like, what? And he's dancing. And he he doesn't know I can see him or that I'm talking to him.
Wait, really?
Yeah. There you are.
I heard him say he knows he can see you. So you're making all these things up.
Well, he had his back turned to me and he was dancing. I was just letting you know that there's a latch on either side of this porch. So we can close Lenny in.
Oh, you're not worried about him falling off the edge?
No, he'll be fine. We're not worried about him falling off the edge. Are we, Andy?
I doubt it. He's survived this long. He's evolved from wolves.
He has.
You think wolves are just running around the woods falling off of cliffs? I don't think so.
As you're saying that, I see him like he's properly wedged his entire head in between two bars of the fence.
Yeah, he'll be fine. I trust him.
Yeah. What? I'm recording with Andy.
He's a big brained idiot.
I think Mark wants to be on the show again.
No,
he doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay, well.
Okay.
I do miss Andy, though. Hi.
He says he misses you, though, Andy.
I can hear him. Tell Mark I miss him, too. It's it's sad.
Well, I just kiss already.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Coffee kiss. Yum.
Oh, great. Ooh, you know, you and I would have a very, there'd be like a static storm if Mark and I made out.
It's true.
Just beard and mustache meeting, coming together.
We could have no ice cream on our date.
No ice cream. We're not going out for, what's another messy beard thing? Soup. We're not going to a soup restaurant.
No soup. Can't slurp a bunch of ramen.
Yeah.
There was this place in my town called Let Us Surprise You.
That's not real.
Yeah, it was a soup and salad place in Georgia.
Now, what was soup prizing about it?
Literally nothing. It was a shitty salad bar, but the logo was made out of like vegetables. Like the letters were made out of vegetables.
I find generally people don't want to be surprised by their food.
Yeah,
there's a lot of emotional responses you want your food to evoke. One of them is not shock or surprise, you know.
Maybe like at a 5-star, like Michelin restaurant, but not at a salad bar chain.
Surprise! Yeah. It's people.
Mm-hmm. Nothing good follows surprise. It's when it comes to food.
It's like a Chris Farley bit. That's another thing.
It is funny that if you make anything expensive enough, it kind of sounds reasonable, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like my peanut butter covered pine cones. I bet that there's like some really soft poached pine cone covered in peanut butter that you could buy at a fancy restaurant.
Pine cone?
Don't worry about it, Mark. You missed that part of the conversation.
He's out on all of our inside jokes, all of our bits.
All right, I'm going back in.
Whatever. Bye.
Bye, Mark.
So anyways, like I was texting you, I want to talk about middle school today.
Middle schools?
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about as pertains to middle school, Linda?
I want to talk about just seventh grade in general. I've been watching Pen 15. And so many people have told me to watch this show, and I finally did it, and it actually is very great. And I feel like they nailed so many things about seventh grade specifically. And I looked it up, and the show creators are, like, exactly my age. Like, they were born the same month as me. And so their telling of this story is, like, just exactly me and my friend – Mickey, we were BFFs, like those girls in seventh grade, just getting into all kinds of trouble and being confused about our bodies.
I find the show, I think the, like, whoever's on the production team that decided on all of the costumes and all of the settings and everything gets so many things so right. And I don't even know how you would, like, begin. I guess you go look at a bunch of old photos from that era, right? From, like, the late 90s or whatever, to try and, like, figure out what exactly was everyone wearing. But, like, a couple times there's been, like, oh, I had literally that exact same shirt that that kid is wearing. And I think that part of the show is very, very evocative and nostalgia-inducing, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not that hard for me to remember what I was wearing during that year and stuff, because they had this whole episode that was just them, like, using AIM for the first time. And
that one's very evocative for me, too, because I was...
That was so good.
I have always been extremely online, even when I was a kid.
Yeah. But I think in particular, like, the crushes and the ways that you, like, are in love with people are so exciting for me right now. Like, why? What? Marcus, like, tapping on the window because he wants to do a time lapse or something. Anyways, I woke up one morning and had just had a dream about, like, my middle school crush, and it felt so real. And I, like, was instantly just, like, brought back to all of the, like, really, really, really intense love feelings that I had for this boy in seventh grade. And, like, I was like, I wonder if I've actually been that in love since then, because it was like, you don't know any better yet than to just, like, completely throw yourself into it and to just be like, I am obsessed with them.
Right.
Yeah. And I was, like, constantly writing my best friend notes about, like, do you think he likes me or not? And I do this thing on the show that I did in real life, which is where you would call the boy on three-way calling. And you would say, hey, just curious, like, no big deal or whatever, but, like, how much do you like Linda on a scale of 1 to 10?
Right. The classic. I feel like boys are a few steps behind the girls at that age. Like, do not remember having any, like, romantic feelings about anybody in middle school. To be fair, I also have a pretty bad memory and don't really that's not entirely true. I can remember now. Okay, that's not entirely true. I do remember, like, there were definitely girls that I asked out to, like, the eighth grade dance or whatever. Because I have a very visceral memory, only because it's immortalized in a photo. I asked a couple girls out to the eighth grade dance. Not simultaneously. I asked one out and got shot down. Asked another out, got shot down. Asked the third out, got shot down.
Good for you for getting back up again.
Well, yeah. So then what I did was I went to Marshall's with my mom. And we went to Marshall's, and I said, you know what? I'm going to show all these girls that they are missing out by not going to the eighth grade dance with me. And I bought myself a special little shirt, which I will send you a picture of now.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Here I am, actually at the eighth grade dance in middle school.
No way.
Yeah. I actually don't even know why I have this photo.
Wow! Oh my God! Okay, listener, I am looking at Andy. Your cheeks are chubbier than they are now.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a collared, what appears to be disco ball, but it's like a vertical striped mirror shirt.
Yeah, the striping is just, it was like pleated. It had like a texture where it was folded over itself a bunch, but it was just a mirror print button-up short sleeve shirt, which I wore, of course, with a black high-necked t-shirt under, and it was truly horrible. And Linda, this is a good memory, is so weird. I think I remember genuinely thinking, like, oh man, the girls are going to be so jealous when they see me in my mirror shirt. This is the coolest shit ever. And they, needless to say, were not impressed.
Right.
So I went stag to the eighth grade dance, you know, tried to... I remember the eighth grade dance just being, you know, there's a big gaggle of boys in one corner of the gymnasium or the cafeteria, and a big gaggle of girls in the other corner of the gymnasium or cafeteria. And then every once in a while, a little, like, cluster would, you know, try and go over and broach the others and like make contact, and it never went well for me, at least.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway,
my heartbreak and romanticism always contained within high school for the most part. I was not really interested in romance at this point in my life.
Really? Not at all?
Like I said, I remember having crushes, but I don't really know what the substance of those crushes were. And it was not,
right.
It was not the kind of obsession you describe about people. I had that in high school though, for sure.
Yeah. I just sent you a picture of me in seventh grade. And we are at a Pizza right? Hut. Yep. And
are these other seventh graders?
So the boy in the middle in that beanie, he's actually an eighth grader who is just very late to mature. And I was very, 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 very early to develop.
Linda, you...
And so...
I hope this comes across as a compliment. You barely look different than you looked in seventh grade. Like,
I know, I tell people this all the time, and that I don't think that it registers where when I say I've been the same size since the seventh grade.
This could be a photo of a young mom with her like two children and their friends. Easily.
I know. And oh my God. Like my friend, he dug this up. The kid in the middle in the beanie, his name's Rory. We're still friends to this day. I went and visited him many times recently. Anyways, so he just dug this photo up a few years ago and sent it to me and all of our friends and said, look at how goddamn big Linda was. She looks like she could have been.
He looks like he's one third your volume in this picture. Like you could put him in a backpack and just walk around and it would be no sweat, you know?
Yeah, at this point, they all did come up about to my chest, except for the boy next to me, who was my number one crush, Josh Fletcher. I've probably talked about him before on this
app. Shout out to Josh Fletcher.
And we're also still friends to this day. And so he, at this point, was my boyfriend, which means that we held hands about once every week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Rory's birthday, and so we went to the Pizza Hut to celebrate. But Josh was about my height, or a little bit taller, and then the rest of these kids were, right up to my chest.
And he looking lanky in this picture.
Yes.
He grew up first, exactly. And then presumably filled out.
Right, exactly.
Meanwhile, you're just full-size human.
Full-size, had my period for a couple years at this point.
Are you sure you didn't, there wasn't some mix-up at the hospital, or, you know, with, your birth certificate, and actually you're, 4 years older than you think you are?
This is like a real thought that has gone through my mind before.
I mean, looking at this photo, Linda, I'm convinced it's...
I know. I've actually, asked my mom for my birth certificate a couple times and, looked at it. And I'm like, uh-huh, okay, okay. So I see it, but,
you get a little, magnifying glass out. You're looking at the date printed to see if there's, a difference in the quality of the ink. I don't know.
Yeah, and because I have some slight dyslexia and some learning differences to other kids, I it's crossed my mind that maybe I was held back a few grades and they lied to me about it.
Six times and your parents didn't tell you.
We'll have to attach this photo to the show notes.
I'll put them both. I'm pretty sure I can add photos to the show notes. I'll put them both in the show notes.
Good, because I treasure this photo now. And at the time, I didn't even, it was just my friend's birthday party. And I think it was so disorienting being that age, because on the inside, you still feel like an insecure weirdo, but who had fully developed into a 20-year-old woman at the age of 12.
That is pretty shocking. This photo is something else.
I was the youngest person in this photo.
Even then, this kid on the far left.
Yeah, that's Sean.
Holy shit.
Sean just had a baby.
This is wild.
I know.
I remember you telling me that you matured early, but this photo really just makes it visceral in a way that it was not for me before. And you're right, that seems like you must have felt like an alien, basically.
Yeah, I did. And because I was bigger, people always told me I was an old soul and stuff, but I don't know.
That was just code for we think you're old.
We think you might actually be a lot older than us.
Do you have any baby pictures? If you considered maybe you're like unstuck in time, you're just like frozen.
I mean, supposedly, I was born in 1987. I don't know, but I still feel like I'm looking older now. Like I was like, it's gonna slow down, and then this will be it. But no, I still feel like I tend to look older. Like when I was with Colin, like I think that I looked a lot older than him, even though he was older than me.
I don't know. I don't feel like you've aged much since I've known you, at least.
Well, that's good.
Which actually, hold on one sec. Time out. Well, I guess don't time out. Keep talking, actually. Do the exact opposite of time out, because I'm going to look something
okay.
up. And I guess it shouldn't just be dead air.
Okay.
What, was middle school generally good for you? Did you enjoy your years in middle school?
Okay, so sixth grade, I don't really remember sixth grade very much. I remember some of the confusion of like, it was like the first time that there were, fifth and sixth grade were real like politics starting to set in, where it was like, okay, these are the popular girls and these are the weird kids. Like, I think the groups were sort of starting to form at that point already. And I've always just been in the camp of like, I'm just kind of friends with everyone. So I had a couple of friends who were like the cool kids, but that was just because they lived down the street from me and like we could get to each other's houses the fastest. But yeah, sixth grade is kind of a wash. All I know is that I started middle school. I saw Josh Fletcher. I was like, oh my God, I have the biggest crush on him. And I spent like the entire year just pining over him.
You were like that oversized baseball cap and that wrist bracelet, which I assume was a church thing. Am I right about that was a church thing?
I think it was. Yeah. We were some church.
I can
kids.
Only see a little bit of it here, but it's got some church thing vibes.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So then seventh grade, I remember after seventh grade, like telling other kids who are a few years younger than me, like seventh grade is the best year that you're ever going to have in your life.
I love when kids and say shit like that. It's great.
When kids give advice to other kids about all of their experience as eighth graders. No, seventh grade was seriously the fucking best because I think it was still really innocent. I had like a really great choir teacher who kind of like took me under her wing and like trained me to be like this mezzo soprano. And I did a bunch of like honors choirs and like state choirs and things. So I just got really into like singing and hanging out with these friends, and I think that I still felt like a kid, but I was like starting to explore who I could be. And then eighth grade was just confusing as fuck, Andy. It was like I had all these hormones, but not really, and I was like not ready to use them yet. But they were like
you weren't like a Maya in Pen 15.
I was my best friend was definitely like Maya.
Yeah,
and I was a little bit more like reserved. And, but I think like I got taken advantage of by a boy in school and like, just, you know, you like do stuff that you're not ready to do yet. That's what I love about the show is like, there's like the scene where the boy's just like, hey, can I finger you? And they're like, no, but you can touch our boob. And he just kind of like puts his hand on their boobs and mm-hmm. then they're like, oh my God. Oh my God.
And like, they referred to it as the time they had a three-way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so that I think was really cathartic for me to watch because like the feelings felt so real that all I remember is the feelings of those types of encounters. But looking back on them, like they were actually probably very innocent and not this crazy thing that I'm remembering. Feelings were just so big. Yes. In eighth grade. And I
feel like when you're a kid, like
them.
You until you've been burned, you don't really, you're like a raw nerve. You don't really have any shields built up either externally or internally to like distance yourself from your feelings or cope with them in some way. And
right.
You know, it's up to you, listener, to decide whether that's good or bad, but I feel like that's what it is, right? Like you just, until you get burned a few times and you're like, oh, this is painful. I need to change how I relate to the world because otherwise it will be nothing but pain for the rest of time.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And I was very, very sweet and very sensitive. And so I think that was the year that I started to experiment with new defense mechanisms and shields. And like, I remember my mom really hating like there was this one day that all the popular girls were going to a movie and they invited me to go with them. And we all dressed up, and basically we just dressed like big hoe bags. Mm-hmm. It was like, we were like putting on really like padded bras and like wearing them as tight as we could so that our boobs looked big. And then we were wearing all this makeup. Again, like a totally normal like thing to experiment with when you're that age. But I did this, and then my sister saw me at the movie theater and like told on me and like told my mom that.
That like, sounds like a big deal in a very religious household.
Yeah. And it was. But it was also like, you know, you're just doing what everyone else is doing and trying to see like what kind of a woman I could be. And so I remember my mom being like, I do not like these girls you're hanging out with, and basically just like forbade me from ever hanging out with them ever again. And then I was mortified. But I don't know. I think naturally people just kind of like fall into the right places for them. Like ultimately I ended up being kind of like the funny, weird art kid.
Hey, that's what you think are.
Yeah, and that's like the bucket I always would have landed in, but you kind of have to just like try on a few different outfits before you get there.
Yeah. I remember I could say that I don't have any memories of me or my friends in middle school being at all concerned with sexuality like that. Like, never would we have thought of ourselves as like presenting a like sexuality or like trying to sex it up or whatever. And it's depressing to me when you describe that, how so implicitly all kind of like sexuality is just like painted as something bad. And, you know, it's just like, I feel like we should be in a society where there's not so much stigma with exploring your sexuality, especially when you're a kid, because I feel like that would mean we would grow up into more healthy and, you know, well-developed adults and not be weirdos about everything for the rest of our life.
Right.
Sucks. Exactly. I remember the gossip at the eighth grade dance was that Nick Dodds fingered a girl. I can't remember her name.
Oh my god!
On the dance floor.
Oh my god!
I know.
And like, I wonder. I want to see the PEN15 version of like what actually happened.
Yeah, I have no idea. But there was like one kid was wearing a tracksuit in PEN15.
Oh, nice!
And I remember specifically that. This family, my middle school, the Doddses, there was like three sons, I think, like each a year apart. And they all wore Adidas tracksuits every day. And everyone thought they were so cool. Yeah, they just had different color Adidas tracksuits. So, you know, matching, you know, track jacket and track pants every day. I think weather permitting, you know, maybe in the winter they wore something a little more substantial or something. But yeah, every day. And everyone thought they were so cool. So cool.
Were they Eastern European?
I don't know. I mean, no, they were American as far as I could tell. Where does the name Dodd originate?
I have no idea. It doesn't sound Eastern European. All I know is that when we went to Montenegro, everyone was in a tracksuit. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. I have like only a few weird memories from middle school. Have I ever told you about my sixth grade year?
No. Tell me about it.
So when I was in elementary school, I was a goody two-shoes to no end, and my teachers all loved me, and I was very nice, and I followed all the rules, and I got good grades, and, you know, good marks, whatever you can call a grade when you're a child, and, you know, I was just a good boy, just a good little boy, and then when I got to middle school, I, like, totally 100% flunked out of my first marking period, the first quarter of sixth grade.
Whoa.
Like, F's in every single class. I believe I had one D minus from one teacher who adored me, and even her trying to, like, you know, bend every rule if she possibly could, I still ended up with a D minus in her class. I just did nothing at all.
Wow.
And I hid this from my parents successfully for the entire marking period until report cards were due. I think I was like, you know, forging their signatures on, you know, your students doing poorly, you know, notices that got sent home or whatever, and just, you know, made it through the entire marking period until it, you know, report cards came due, and then there was no hiding anymore because they, of course, wanted to see my report card. Right. And they had no suspicions at all because I had always been the goodest boy, nicest rule follower in the land, and so they had no reason to expect that I wasn't doing well in all of my high placement classes in sixth grade. And I have a distinct memory of like one morning. It was like, it was the morning that I knew, like, this was like anxiety building in me that I knew they were going to find out eventually, but I couldn't, I was like, I couldn't control it. I couldn't stop it. Like, I didn't know how to actually start doing my work. And to this day, I don't even really know what happened to me that sort of first marking period. But I just remember I was like living for like weeks with this fear of them finding out. And I knew it was going to happen eventually. And finally on like D-Day, I like had a like emotional breakdown in the morning. Like I couldn't get out of bed and I was just sobbing. And I just told my mom, like, you have to go to school. You have to go to school. You have to go to school. And she was like, what the fuck? And then, like, she went to school and, you know, talked to my teachers. And they were like, well, yeah, he's failing everything. And here's all the, like, you know, notices you signed. And she's like, yeah, great. Didn't sign any of those. But I remember that morning. I remember having that meltdown. I don't really remember why I didn't do anything. I think my parents' working theory was that, like, I had gamed out this like bare minimum I had to do to like barely pass and just like fucked up the math. Cause this was like the first year.
What?
Well, this is like the first year where like there was any kind of transparency in how your grade was determined. Right. Like in fifth grade, it was just like, you get a grade at the end of the, you know, semester based on how much your teacher thinks you did your work or how much they like you or whatever. And here it was like, you know, 40% of your grade is your classwork and 50% is your homework and 10% is attendance or whatever. We got these like breakdowns of those numbers. And they think I was, like, trying to game it and just do as little as I could while still passing. And I just was an idiot sixth grader and, like, failed at trying to do that. But I did nothing. I just didn't turn in any assignments, basically.
Wow.
And then my parents, I mean, to their credit, I have no memory of them being, like, furious at me or anything. Like, I remember what they did is my mom went to school that day that I told her she had to go to school because I was, you know, having a meltdown. And she came back with every single assignment that I didn't do for the entire marking period. And then my parents made me do all of them under the pretense that I was still not going to get any credit for them. Like, I was not recovering my grades, but, you know, you're going to do all of them and turn them in because that's what you do. You do the work you're supposed to do. And I spent, like, I want to say, like, two whole weekends. I, like, woke up at 7:30 in the morning, went downstairs, sat at the kitchen table, worked all day until bedtime, and did that for, like, you know, two whole weekends, and then turned in everything I missed for that whole marking period.
Wow.
I think most of the teachers ended up giving me like a C or a D or whatever. They were like, okay, fine. But, you know, and then from there on, like, and then from then on, I did great in school for the rest of my life. And like, there was a very weird blip there. And I don't really know what to attribute it to.
That is so strange.
It is weird.
What the heck happened?
There was some like you know, in total hindsight, there was like some kind of stress and drama in my family at large, but I truly have no memory of that affecting me at all. And I have basically no memory of that entire year. I can't even remember the teachers I had that year. Like I kind of like blacked it out. It was very weird.
Because the first thing that my head goes to is like the emotional and mental thing. Like I think that when boys are around that age, it's almost like the way to connect with your feelings is to disconnect or something. And I'm obviously like not a psychologist, I'm just spitballing here based off of people that I know. Like I had one friend whose mother died when they were 10 and like just remembers playing video games for an entire year and a half, and like I don't remember feeling sad or like having this have like a really negative impact on me, but I do remember like the year and a half of my life that I like played this one video game constantly.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how the timelines worked out, but like money was tight for my family because of, you know, job stuff for my dad basically. And I knew that to some degree. And at some point, I think towards the end of middle school, I don't think it was my sixth grade year, I think it was later, like we had to move out of our house, which was like, you know,
You moved into that smaller house.
Yeah, but I think I might have told you before, like I have very fond memories of this smaller house where we lived for like 2 years, maybe a year and a half, not terribly long, but it's my favorite house I've ever lived in. I love that house. I thought it was so cool. And you know, it was a house we weren't even paying for. It was like I think some friend of my dad's grandmother had died, and it was in this little cul-de-sac where the family owned all the houses, and they didn't want to sell the house to have somebody not in the family move in, but there was no one in the family to live there, and so it was just kind of sitting there, and we just lived in his house for a while because we needed somewhere to live. But I love that house. Like, I have no negative emotions associated with that house at all. I just completely failed the first marking period of sixth grade. I don't know why.
Wow.
It's weird.
Maybe you were just like, maybe I'll be a bad boy. And then you're like, never mind.
I don't know. I mean, I continued to be a big rule follower pretty much. I mean, maybe towards like the end of high school, I started to have a anti-establishment streak, but very tame by all standards. Like my anti-establishment streak was that I chose to swear at the boys' speaking contest, even though swearing had been explicitly forbidden the year before. Here's the thing, Linda. I'll tell you, explain what happened. They used to allow some, like, you know, some low-tier swears, dams and asses and shits, in the boys' speaking contest, where you were doing, like, a monologue from a play or, you know, a speech or something. They would let you do that because of artistic license, right? They would give that a pass. And then... Okay. The year before, somebody in the year ahead of me had abused this artistic license and done some speech that had apparently profanity that went a little too far in the minds of the administration. So the next year, wholesale ban on any profanity. I was doing a Kurt Vonnegut speech because that's who I was. I was the, you know, high schooler obsessed with Kurt Vonnegut. And Kurt Vonnegut had died like 3 months before the boy speaking contest. And so I was not going to fucking modify Kurt Vonnegut's speech. And so I referred to some pigs in shit, I think was the swear that I said. And then I got in trouble for that. But what they made me do was write an apology letter to the teachers that ran the boys speaking contest and to, like, I think the vice principal or whoever was like in charge of the whole operation.
What?
Well, so here's what I did. So I wrote this apology letter, which was just, you know, basically like a little high school boys treatise on free speech, and like this like really sassy rude letter, and I printed up like hundreds of copies and distributed it all over the school, and then miraculously, because I'm a white man, never got in trouble for that. Never heard a word from the administration. They ignored it completely. The vice principal did say something to my mother, who was at the time teaching at the middle school attached to my high school, and was like just so you know, like, he's a good kid, so we're not gonna do anything here, but you know, we saw
it. It's hard to get away with anything when your parents were.
Yeah, well, I wasn't trying to get away with it. I was trying to make some like dumb, misguided political statement.
Right.
Anyway, I've blabbered on for too long. That was my middle school experience. I completely fell apart in all imaginable ways in sixth grade and have no memory of it. Blacked it out. Like, I only really know these things because I remember that morning, like I said, like having that panic attack basically, but all the rest I've just been told. I have no memory of doing those things. I just know I'm told that's what happened pretty much.
Such a bad boy, Andy.
Those are the two things.
Who knew?
Oh wait, I have one funny story from middle school, which I think I might have told you already. Maybe.
Oh yeah.
Did I tell you about the time I got invited to the cool kids sleepover?
I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe.
All right, well, maybe we're getting to the point of the podcast. We're like 130 episodes in where we repeat stories, but who cares?
It's okay. Fuck it.
This was middle school, and I had, like, towards the end of middle school, I had, like, one close friend, but I didn't have, like, a friend group. I was not, I don't remember feeling lonely or antisocial. I, you know, was, I kept to myself and was into art and stuff and just hadn't really found my people yet. I did find my people in high school, but I didn't really in middle school. And there was this, like, group of slightly cooler kids that I thought might be my group, and they all played electric guitar, and, like, some of them smoked weed, and they were, like, you know, a little more mature. And I got into playing guitar and was trying to, like, you know, basically endear myself to this group of cooler kids who invited me once to the cool kids sleepover party. And there was, like, I think I'm going to say like four or five of us on, like, you know, a Friday night or a Saturday night, all going over to it was Matt Kaplan's house. And we were, like, you know, had pizza and stuff and, like, doing normal sleepover things. And then, like, at some point, his parents finally went to bed and we were, like, down in the basement on sleeping bags and stuff. And as soon as, like, you know, his parents were in bed for the night, I forget what happened. Maybe, like, you know, his mom shouted down the stairs, like, "We're going to bed, boys. Like, have a fun time. Don't stay up too late," or something. As soon as that happened, all four of these people, who were all closer friends with each other than they were with me, turned to me, looked at me, and said, like, "Andy, you got invited to this party for a very specific reason." And I was like, okay. And the reason I got invited to this party, Linda, is that, you know, I was known as the kid at school that could draw really good. I think you probably were too. Like, for the people that did not know me even at all, that was the little, like, you know, index card in their brain. Like, that was the one-liner. Andy's the kid that draws really good. So-and-so is the kid that pooped his pants once, right? My little thing was just the kid that draws really good. And I was invited to this party, Linda, because these middle school boys wanted me to draw naked ladies for them so they could jerk
what
them.
No
yes
boys are gross
It's really an interesting portrait of a moment in time, because this was, I mean, like, AOL existed.
Right.
But like, I think they might have had like a family computer, like in the kitchen or something. Like, these were just horny little middle schoolers with no access to pornography.
Their own imaginations. Right. Pornography.
And so they thought, I could manufacture this for them. And I tried my hardest, Linda. I tried so hard, but I had no idea what a naked lady looked like. I had no fucking clue.
Oh my
so
God,
I drew some weird stuff. And I think one of the boys took it into pictures. A closet and like came out like 10 minutes later and like high-fived everybody. It was very weird. Linda? Did I stun you into silence?
Hello?
Oh, heard a little bit.
Nope. Oh.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi. Hi there.
Step into a Faraday cage?
No, I'm just sitting here on the porch.
Okay.
Okay. I was saying that I would pay money to see what those pictures looked like.
Oh, I would too. Christ, I would love to have those drawings. I'm sure it was like, you know. Well, here's the thing. I actually drew a lot of muscly men because I liked superheroes. Did I tell you? Did you know this about me? For years. I maintained a subscription to Muscle and Fitness magazine so I could draw all the good muscles and all the good muscly men. I had just sketchbooks on, like piles of sketchbooks full of nothing but muscly men in no clothes with like cool poses.
Oh, that's just so funny. It's like, it's funny because, man.
So I'm certain that my attempt at drawing a naked lady was basically like Superman with a coin slot between his legs. Like, that's probably the best I could manage at that point. I had no clue.
Yeah, but the pecs have like water balloons attached to them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was basically, you know, a perfect rendition of Batman, but you know, yeah, two big watermelons where his pecs should be.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, did I do it? Did I make a horny?
Did I do good? Did I make horny?
Did I make my friends horny? Which is the goal of this endeavor, apparently.
Oh, that's so funny.
I've since retold this story to people I have like gone to high school with who knew these people that I was friends with in middle school. And when I retold the story, they were like, holy shit, you had a once-in-a-lifetime moment to completely shape someone's sexuality. Like, whatever you drew on that paper would have been, you know, foundational in that person's sexuality, what they thought was hot. You could have drawn anything and, like, totally fucked them up for life.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I remember at that time, I was not, like, I don't think I had masturbated yet. I don't think I'd ever had an orgasm. I think I was just, like, you know, I don't know. Just, I think I was, like, on the cusp. And I really did not understand why they wanted this and could not comprehend why I had been invited to this party just for this reason. I was like, I thought we were going to play Smash Brothers.
Lenny, don't do that. Hey. Yeah, I remember, like, the girls in sixth grade wanting to watch the scrambled porn channel to see that, like, half a second.
Yeah, there was some scrambled porn channel at this party, too.
Yeah, and, like, I think that stuff started happening before I was interested. Because even though, like, physically I developed fast, I think, like, mentally I wasn't quite there yet. So confusing. What a fucking confusing time for your brain to be like, I kind of want to just draw frogs and play with my horse doll, but I
and
have
that's not a
boobies.
Metaphor.
Yeah, exactly. Like, genuinely. Man. Well,
yeah, middle school was weird. It was kind of a train wreck for me, but survived it.
Same here. It makes me almost not want to have kids and really want to have kids all at the same time.
Oh, man. I had a horribly embarrassing moment today, like a top 10 foot and mouth moment. I was walking the dog earlier, and I ran into a friend of mine who is really more of an acquaintance. I don't see her very often. Like, you know, we don't talk to each other regularly, but we follow each other on social media or whatever. And she lives around the neighborhood. But I bumped into her. I haven't talked to her probably in, I don't know, a year or something. Certainly not since COVID began. And so we were like, you know, walking side by side for a bit because we were going the same direction. And, you know, she was asking about how COVID was and being stuck at home. And I was saying like, yeah, you know, I can't complain. I could do my job remotely. And, you know, it's just Hillary and I and the dog at home. We have no kids or anything. So it's really easy there. And she was like, yeah, I can't imagine what it's like to be a parent right now. It seems so hard. And I was like, yeah, like, I feel like all my anxiety and, like, our decision to, like, not have kids for now is, like, totally vindicated by all these people that are, like, stuck at home with their kids. And she goes, Yeah, well, I am pregnant. I was like, oh no. I was like, isn't it great to not have kids and not be, one of these idiot reproducing people, these breeders?
Oh, God.
And she was like, yeah, well, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations. I'm sure it'll be great.
I hope she makes a voodoo doll of you when she gets home.
I don't think she was actually offended, but, I was like, oh, a fellow childless person, allow me to commiserate.
Yeah.
And she was like, actually, well, I'm on my way to that.
Look elsewhere, buddy.
Anyway.
Anyway, I'm going to go call my sister.
Do it.
Maybe she'll have fun memories of
it. I hope I didn't monopolize the middle school episode. I feel like I talk too much.
You always say that. And I always say, Andy, it's okay. I love your stories.
I don't always say that.
You're right. You don't always say that.
I strive to listen on this show, Linda.
I know. But it was an exciting topic.
It's got your name on the artwork.
Yeah, but it's got your artwork on the artwork.
Yeah, well, you hate it, so don't rub it in.
I don't hate it. Oh,
you
my
do.
Gosh.
Oh,
Andy,
I will never forget
you.
The conversation we had about that artwork, but you go call your sister now.
I love you, and I love your artwork, and I love your stories.
Okay. I love you too. Goodbye.
Okay. Bye, Andy.